Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
The first is Proverbs 15 verse 33, found on page 655 in the Pew Bibles. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. The second is Proverbs 18, verse 12, found on page 658. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. And the third is Proverbs 22, verse 4, found on page 662. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Also, Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you very much for those readings, and Stuart for that interesting introduction. You will notice that there's three Proverbs, and I've squeezed in a little New Testament as well. That's not because I didn't think there was enough to say about the three Proverbs, but rather that I wanted the New Testament to help bring illumination and understanding to what we are learning from these Proverbs. So hopefully that will make sense as we look at it together. But first, let's pray. Gracious Father, this is your word to us today. And therefore we pray that by the help of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to come before you with ears ready to listen and hearts ready to obey. Please help me to explain your word faithfully and clearly, so that all of us may have understanding of your word and go from here closer to you. For we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, hold on. I'm dropping all things here. So this evening we are continuing our teaching series on living wisely. And I guess we all want to be wise in the way in which we live, because we hope that by being wise will result in successful and fulfilled lives, that we would have the life of our dreams, material wealth, the respect of others, and long lives of comfort and fulfillment. And in our self-orientated step to the front of the line and put yourself first kind of world, where the winner takes it all, Humility is the last personal characteristic that comes to mind for living wisely. In fact, humility has almost become a negative trait in our modern society. Rather, you need to stand up for yourself, right? Don't be a doormat. Don't let yourself be pushed around. Be bold. Assert yourself. Put yourself first. And humility is seen as a weakness you can't afford. You will just be taken advantage of, pushed to the back, ignored, and forgotten. No, the world tells us that if we want a long, happy life of wealth and comfort, of respect and honor, then humility has little part to play. And yet, the Bible, from cover to cover, is full of instruction upon instruction and plenty examples marking our humility as absolutely critical characteristic for the Christian in living the wise life. Contrary to modern thinking, God's word teaches us that humility is in fact the very essence of living wisely. At the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, who penned many of the Proverbs contained in the book, tells us right back in Proverbs chapter 1, he says in verse 7 of Proverbs 1, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Living wisely begins with the fear of the Lord, with a right relationship with the Lord. And then one of our Proverbs that we read this evening tells us this in Proverbs 22 and verse 4. It tells us, "Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life." In other words, humility is that essential attitude necessary in our relationship with the Lord, which is the foundation of wise living. For those of us who are Christians, we do not live simply for this world and all it may offer us, as if that's all there is. Our eyes are set on the world to come and on the rich inheritance that is ours in Christ, as we look forward to the day when we are welcomed with honor into the Father's presence as his sons and daughters, and into eternal life. That is truly wise living. And the certainty of that inheritance begins with humility. Again, Proverbs 22. "Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life." Tonight we are thinking about the importance of humility in wise living. And to do that, I want us to take us to that well-known parable where Jesus makes this very point. It's commonly called the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and it's on page 1062 of your church Bibles. Please do follow with me and you can see what I'm saying. Now, if you spend any time in Sunday school, then you will be familiar with this parable. There are two men. The first is a Pharisee, a religious leader of the day. The second is a tax collector, someone who would have been despised as an outcast in the Jewish community. They both go up to the temple to pray. After praying, they both go on their way home. But here's the shocker. Jesus tells his hearers that only one of them goes home right with God. Or to use the language of Proverbs, only one of them is living wisely in the fear of the Lord. only one of them is secure in their eternal inheritance and have a sure welcome in the presence of God the Father. The other is not. Have a look down at verse 14 of Luke 18. I tell you, says Jesus, that this man, referring to the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. So what made the difference? Both went to church, both prayed. The difference lies in the heart. Christian faith, before it is anything else, is a matter of the heart. All our outward religious observances and services, our church attendance, our baptism, our communion taking, our house group leading, our PCC meeting, our music playing, our refreshment serving, all of these things have no value if our heart is not right. So let's look closer at each of our characters in the parable. And the prayer of the religious leader, the Pharisee, reveals very clearly where his heart is. Have a look at verse 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Well, you can see immediately where his confidence comes from, can't you? Himself. I. It's all about him and his achievements. He is convinced that because of the way in which he has lived and who he was, his spot in heaven and his eternal reward was secure. He lists some of his achievements, and which, by the way, do seem to me a little selective. And then he also proudly compares himself to these others, these robbers and adulterers and evildoers, and even the poor tax collector sitting in the back row. And he concludes that God is probably grateful that someone like himself is on his side. Now, we may smile at that, but we all risk doing this, don't we? When taking our spiritual temperature, we all face the temptation to focus on the good stuff and to brush the other stuff under the carpet, that stuff that we have failed dismally to live up to God's standards. And let's be honest, if we look hard enough, we can always find others who are not as good as ourselves. So we tot up our church and our house group attendance and our various church activities and the time we spend serving, and we confidently conclude that God and the leadership of Emmanuel should be so grateful they've got someone like me. But here's the kicker. Remember who Jesus is speaking to here. Jesus speaks this parable as a warning to those who put their confidence in their own righteousness. We see that, verse 9. Have a look at it with me. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. And the Pharisee certainly fits that bill, doesn't he? But what about you and me? When we take a hard look at ourselves, where is our confidence that we are right with God? Spiritual pride is a terrible thing. It blinds us to the reality of our hard hearts and leads us down a path of destruction. Another of our proverbs for this evening speaks powerfully into this. giving us the antidote to spiritual pride and confidence in our own righteousness. Proverbs 18, verse 12 says, "Before a downfall, the heart is haughty." Before a downfall, the heart is haughty. But humility comes before honor. So enter the tax collector. Now, of course, we accept today that tax collecting is a necessary part of society and a perfectly respectable job that someone has to do. But in Jesus' day, the tax collector was seen as a sellout. They worked for the Roman oppressors, taking from their own people and collaborating with the enemy. And to make matters worse, they often overcharged in order to line their own pockets. Tax collectors were nasty pieces of work. They effectively ripped off and stole from their own people. And in the minds of Jesus' hearers, tax collectors would have been the very last people to deserve eternal riches and honor of heaven. Now I wonder who would we put in the same category as the tax collectors today? Well, rather than list the obvious, and I wonder which names you came up with, sort of the terrorist, the child abuser, mass murderer, and so forth, think for a moment to that coffee question about the person or the kind of person that you would least like having sit next to you in church tonight. That person who would make you feel really uncomfortable and angry that they were there. Someone you think just doesn't belong. The tax collector in this story stands for such a person. And look what Jesus says of him. Verse 14. "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." Now the Jews listening to Jesus, their jaws would have dropped to the floor at hearing that. How could this be possible? It was scandalous. It is scandalous. How can wicked people share in the riches of God's inheritance and be welcomed into his presence and enjoy the blessings of eternal life? Well, let's look a little bit more closely at the tax collector's visit to church. Verse 13, look at it with me. "But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" Even before he opens his mouth, it is clear that his heart is in a very different place to that of the religious leader. He comes to the temple where he knows he will find God. But he stands at a distance. He realizes that he has no right to be anywhere near God. He doesn't need persuading that he's a sinner. He just owns up. Beating his breast, he's filled with deep anguish for the way in which he has lived. He doesn't try to bargain with God. He doesn't list his achievements, religious or otherwise. He knows he has nothing to offer. His purse is empty. All he can do is throw himself on the mercy and grace of God. And that, says Jesus, is exactly what he receives. "I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God."
It's the tax collector who walks home right with God. He is the one who walks home assured of the riches and honor of eternal life in the presence of Almighty God. Now, isn't that good news? Isn't that hopeful news? Because you see, when I look at my heart with real honesty, when I consider the stuff that you can't see, I know that I'm no better than the tax collector. I have nothing to offer God. And if it is possible that the tax collector can walk home from church right with God, then it's possible for me and for you to go home even tonight, right with God. Isn't that amazing? But how, you say? How is that possible? Well, I'm glad you asked, because Jesus very helpfully gives us the answer. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And you can see we're finally back to the importance of humility in living wisely. Truly wise living, as our Proverbs tell us, is to fear the Lord by throwing ourselves in all humility on his mercy and grace. That is wisdom's instruction for wise living. Our final proverb, Proverbs 15, verse 33. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Now, as we're sitting here this evening, it may be that the Lord has been speaking directly to your heart. It may be that you need to take that first step to living wisely, to stop relying or putting your confidence in your own efforts, your religious observances, or your moral uprightness, as if by them somehow you can earn acceptance with God. And rather, in all humility, come to Jesus and throw yourself on his mercy. Maybe you're sitting here riddled with guilt and shame for the secret things in your life. You've blown it with God so many times, you almost didn't come to church tonight. And you're wondering, will God ever accept me? Well, friends, you need to hear the hope of tonight's message. You don't need to have all your stuff together before God will accept you. That's what the Pharisee thought. In humility, bring your brokenness to the Lord Jesus. Plead for his mercy and grace, and you will find forgiveness. You will find relationship with God Almighty restored, and you can go home tonight just like the tax collector, right with God, fully assured of your inheritance with God, kept for you in heaven, and of a warm welcome as a son or daughter of God into his presence. Now, if that's you tonight, if you would like help to do that, may I encourage you not to just rush out of here this evening, but to spend time doing business with the Lord. Maybe speak to one of the church leaders who can help you. go to the back corner. I'm sure there'll be someone there who'd be willing to pray for you and pray with you. But don't go home and not deal with it. It may be that in hearing God's word this evening, you have been uncomfortably challenged. You do so much for the church, the hours you spend, the money you've given, the ministries you've served on, you're almost indispensable. And perhaps without even realizing it, you've slid into putting your confidence into these things. Now, you'll never articulate it like that because you've got your theology right and you know that that's wrong. But if you're honest, the attitude of your heart is saying something different. And maybe some of that spiritual pride is creeping in. And just maybe God's word to you tonight is gently but firmly calling you to repent of that attitude. To stop relying on yourself or putting confidence in yourself and all you've done. Or comparing yourself to others. Or indeed grumbling at how so much you do for the Lord and how little so many others do. But rather to walk the path of wisdom. To fear the Lord. And so in all humility, lay your brokenness before him and receive his forgiveness and restoration and honor. Proverbs 15. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Such is the importance of humility in living the wise life. Let's pray. Perhaps as the team come up, we'll just have a moment of quiet, allowing ourselves to just spend some time reflecting on what God, by his Spirit, is saying to each of us through his word tonight. What is the response he's asking from us? And make that response quietly in your heart. And then Stu will lead us.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.